Recently, I was asked by Phil Rind of Sacred Reich to compile a list of my favorite thrash albums. A writer friend of his was working on a piece about the 20 best. My top 20, obviously, of course, included Ignorance by Sacred Reich, a phenomenal, explosive debut that continues to reverberate in my ears to this day. I still give it casual listens on a regular basis. My number one was a toss-up between Metallica's Master of Puppets and Slayer's Reign in Blood. It's always dependent on my mood, and I submitted my picks that day with Puppets on top. But what surprised me even more was when I was done with the list, it was exactly one quarter Canadian. I know I'm Canadian, so it makes sense, but I never knew Canadian metal was that big a piece of my thrash metal pie. Darkthrone always knew, but I guess I needed to write it out and look at it for myself to understand. We Canadians are known for being modest, reserved, and self-deprecating to the point of being our own worst critics. The cliche of having to make it somewhere else before being appreciated in one's backyard doesn't even work here. For Canadians, often the snub continues, even after outside accreditation has been achieved. I used to hate this about Canada, but now I recognize it as a domestic whipping post, vetting artists, musicians, and the like, holding them up to a seemingly higher standard with an incapacity to suffer fools. How's that for turning a criticism of Canada on its head? And even though I might have mellowed out over the years with my tirades, rants, and stances about my home country, my taste in sweet metal hasn't changed. If you had asked me for my top 20 thrash albums when I was 16 years old, I would have probably submitted a carbon copy of the one I compiled last week. So, what were those five Canadian albums that made the list? I won't go by exact ranking, but Voivod's Dimension Hatros and Killing Technology, Annihilator's Never Neverland, Sacrifice's Forward to Termination, and Razor's Shotgun Justice all made the list. And I'm sure there were about 10 other deserving releases from other bands like Slaughter, Malhavik, and DBC. Anyways, the only band besides Metallica that I listed twice was Voivod. And that's because I love Voivod. I love Voivod for several reasons. Firstly, they were an incredible band, an incredibly original band, in a sea of copycats, wannabes, knockoffs, and mimics. The weirder and odder Voivod got, the better they got. They fused Motorhead, Venom, The Exploited, Killing Joke, and then fused it even further again with industrial and progressive rock. What a combination. And the topper was, it worked. It worked like a charm and charmed a legion of followers, myself included. More so than any Canadian band, they took their sound around the world and back again. They were the biggest metal export from here and still the most revered and respected metal band in Canada. Nobody can take that away from them. Like any band worth their weight in credibility, Voivod have had their ups and downs, but their discography speaks for itself. Now, in a post-Piggy Denny DeMore era, Voivod have moved in the only direction they were ever interested in moving, onwards and upwards. Now, with Daniel Mongren as guitarist and their fantastic 2013 album Target Earth under their belts, Voivod are ready to roar back with a new EP waiting in the wings. Post Society is set to drop at the end of February of this year. I caught up with Michel Langevin, aka Away, when we played with them at Speedfest in Eindhoven, Holland this past November. This podcast was done an hour or two after the Donald Tardy podcast was done, episode number 116. And it was great to catch up with the guys and catch up with some fellow Canadians. The atmosphere was tense coming off the Paris attacks only a week before, and it was good to see some fellow Canadians out on the road just like us. I think they felt the same. One of the greatest moments I have ever had being in this band was when I met Away at the Biftech bar in Montreal around 1998-1999. I was hanging out with Jonathan Cummings from Bionic, Doughboys, and now USA out of Vietnam when I spotted Away walking into the bar and got starstruck. It was only because of Jonathan viciously goading me to approach him that I introduced myself to Away, and Away turned around and said he knew my band and started singing a melody that, if memory serves me correctly, was Never Again off our first EP. That was a huge moment for me. I had Voivod posters on my wall, and here's one of the dudes who knows my stuff. Totally cool to me. Anyway, since then, Michelle and I have kept in touch, and we run into each other every year or two. This episode is one of those moments. He's even done some t-shirt designs for us back in 2006, and those remain my most favorite t-shirt designs we've ever had at our merch booth. To say that Away is on my podcast is a feather in my podcast cap. I'd like to thank Blue Mic Microphones and Skull Candy Headphones for supporting the podcast. I'd like to thank Chino Locos Restaurants, not for sponsoring the podcast, because they don't sponsor the podcast. I just like my fish burritos the way they make them, stuffed with chow mein noodles. And most importantly, I'd like to thank you for taking time to listen to this episode and any of the other episodes I've uploaded. Subscribing to this podcast is free, and I upload episodes every 2 weeks as to not bung up your iTunes. Enjoy this one. It's with Away from Voivod. And Away is on the official Danko Jones podcast, and it starts now. The Danko Jones podcast is the best around. If Lennon get his Danko's go out, they'll offer free and sack Lennon. I do sometimes. Jimmy in from fucked up. Stop playing. Hang down, down. I thought Danko was crazy when he told me he was from the planet Zob. But when he showed me his spaceship, I had to take a trip in it. We traveled through the solar system for what seemed like 10 years, visiting planets and battling alien races. I even reared a few alien families. When we got back to Earth, I realized that the 10-year space trip only took a few minutes back on Earth. Danko and I had some crazy times together. Neat kloop blot. You might not know what that means, but Danko does.
Hey, it's the Danko Jones Podcast. You can check us out on iTunes and SoundCloud right now, cause it's the Danko Jones Podcast. Check us out right now.
The googly gaggly goblins will make sure they get their podcast fill by listening to Danko Jones, then snacking on some broken bones. And scaredy cats will run amok when rock and roll starts to talk, flapping gums and striking tongues. A chilly podcast has now begun.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, get ready, because the Danko Jones Podcast starts! No!
Yeah, hey, I got Away from Voivod in the back of our bus. I'm so happy that you're here. Yeah.
I'm sorry for Hellfest. It turned out to be pretty hectic with Phil and Zelmo and Jason. I couldn't do the podcast then.
No, I didn't have... did I ask you,
yeah, you
then?
Asked me then? Yeah, you asked me then. And we ended up like... it was a crazy festival.
Well, the best part about Hellfest is the organizers really try to get bands jamming, I feel, because Caius Lives was born from Hellfest, putting Mondo Generator, John Garcia, and Brant Bjork and the Bros together for a kind of a Caius reunion on the same stage. Mm-hmm. And then strategically, Hellfest placed Newstead right beside your dressing room, right across from our dressing room, because they knew the connections, I think.
Yeah, I think so. They were also playing like the next stage right beside us, right before us. So we got Jason to jump on stage and play Voivod with
that was
us.
Awesome.
And Phil Anselmo sang Astronomy Domain, maybe, if I remember well, or maybe the song Nothing Face. I know that he went on stage to sing with us.
Okay, so next time we're all at Hellfest and our dressing room is across, I'm singing. What can I sing? Tornado. I'm singing.
We play that song sometimes. We still play it. We still play the old stuff. A lot of it, actually. Yeah.
Well, and how has the tour? I just had Donald in, and he was saying that the tour's going great and everything's going great.
Yeah. It's really packed every night. The vibe is great. It's great old school package. It's perfect for us.
Now, how, like, you guys are, I don't know, it's coming on 2.5 years, almost 3 years now since the last record, and what are the plans for Voivod?
We have a U.S. tour coming in the spring with Vector, and we're gonna release an EP, and then for that tour. Right now we have a couple of 7-inch split for Europe, one with At the Gates and one with Napalm Death, and I'll hand you one later. So an EP for the spring, then more recordings. We're coming back here for the festivals next year in Europe.
Are you doing Hellfest?
I'm not sure yet. We're still looking into all the festivals. We also have a European club tour as a headliners in the fall of next year with a new album.
Okay, so there is a new album.
Yeah.
Done or on the way?
It's in the way. We between touring, we go into the woods and record a few songs and then come back and tour again. We actually write in the bus with a computer, you know.
Not on this tour.
On this tour, it's been nearly impossible. Although I saw Chewy, our guitar player, recording some riffs on his laptop. But we are three bands and crew in one bus. There's no space at all. And it's not always obvious backstage because most of the times all the bands are together backstage. And so, it's crazy. But I've known everybody for so long. 25 years or so, and we really get along.
You have obviously Chewy is has been in the band for what, five?
Hold on, 2008, 7 years now.
Seven years yeah. Now. Holy smokes!
Yeah.
And there's a new guy because Blackie left.
Yeah.
Last year.
Blackie left last year, right before Heavy Montreal, the festival.
Oh.
And we have Chewy's childhood friend and Rocky. And when Blackie left, Chewy told me, "I know a guy. I'm sure he can do it." So, all right, I was like, "I'll go for it." And we jammed once, and that was it.
And then you played Heavy Montreal?
We played one show up north where we are from, Jonquière in Quebec, and the where we were like given a plaque for being ambassadors of Saguenay, is where we're from. We had a big show there, and where we had to go to the city hall and sign the book and everything.
Cool.
And it was really cool. All of our families were there. So Blackie left right before that show. It was a weird timing, but we got Rocky to play there. Thousands of people. It was really, really cool. Then Heavy Montreal. And then early this year, did this crazy North American tour with Napalm Death, Aaron Regan, and Exhumed, and it was really successful. And now we're doing this thing. While doing the North America in January, we were offered by Jeff Walker to be part of this package, and of course, we jumped on it. And like I said, it's hugely successful and packed everywhere, so it's great.
Now, I mean, you're saying Rocky is the newest member. Now, was Rocky before he joined the band, or did you give him? Doesn't sound very Voivodian.
His name is Dominique Laroche, and his nickname in Montreal in the music circuit is Rock. Dominique Rock Laroche. So we just said, let's call him Rocky.
Is that Voivodian?
Hey, yeah, everything the names have always been a bit silly. Biggie away and stuff.
I never took it as silly.
Well, I read many times that it was kind of like the banana splits, you know, and that was in actually the intention, because coming from the French part of Canada, Michel Langevin, Denis Damour, Jean-Yves Thériault, we thought nobody's gonna remember that, and so we thought about sort of a mixture between Ramones and Venom, and with catchy names representing everybody, and as long as it represents the person, you know, quite often a member will pick his own name. I mean, the guys called me away, but Jason decided to call himself Jasonic, and Eric
he came up with that.
Yeah,
I thought maybe you came up.
No. And Eric called himself E-Force. Now he has a band called E-Force, and so we don't really take it that seriously, you know.
Oh, I thought when you join Voivod, there's like a meeting, and then away. Gives you your name, you bestow them. I thought that's how it was, because then I was going to go, like, well, if I was going to ask you, if I joined Voivod, what would my Voivodian name be?
Everything in Voivod has always been really democratic. Even like the royalties are like 25%, 25%, and so on. And I would never impose a name on anybody. It's not my nature at all. But I can't remember exactly who found whose name and all that, you know. I know that Snake's name comes from a theater improvisation he did, where he
really?
Was. Yeah, he was. I went like okay when we formed. We first started in '82, but only Blackie, Piggy, and I. And we jammed a bunch of covers, Motorhead, Tank, some punk, Sex Pistols, and stuff, and Judas Priest, and so on. And eventually, we were looking for a singer, and we knew we wanted somebody really theatrical. And in early '83, at this point, we were in college, and I was in a class with Snake, and I had met Snake when he was maybe 12, 13, but all of a sudden we're in the same class, and I sort of realized that he was into strange theater, and so he invited me to go to one of these things where it's all improvisation, and at one point he had to improvise to imitate a worm. You know when you go fishing and you need to find worms the night before after it rains, and you go with a flashlight, you know, in the grass, and he had to be the worm getting caught by the flashlight, you know. And he didn't say a word, he just crawled and then turned his head and his face, he had a standing ovation. And after, I went to see him, I said, hey man, can you sing? He said, what? Have you ever sang? Have you ever... No, but I'd like to try. And then I said, okay. This was in early '83. Learn The Ripper by Judas Priest. And come to the jam space and we'll see. All right. And at this one, he couldn't believe I was playing with Denis Damour, because he was already a legend. So he was really excited. And when he came to the jam space, we tried it. And he sang it like Johnny Rotten. And we were like, wow. Okay. Not expected, but fucking great. And it just clicked right away, you know?
Actually, you know what? Now that you mention Johnny Rotten, I never really put it together with Snake's vocals, but I could see that's a total influence.
Oh, yeah. Snake was really into Dead Kennedys, Iggy Pop, and Sex Pistols, and he loved metal, but wouldn't think about singing like King Diamond or when we covered Evil back then, and he was trying to sing very metal, but it's still punk. You know, it's on the first demo that was re-released by Alternative Tentacles a couple of years back, To the Death 84, and we have like 13 originals on there, and a cover of Merciful Fate and two covers of Venom, and so that was pretty much the root.
I think no matter how progressive Voivod got, I think Snake's vocals were always what grounded the Voivod sound, you know, to a punk aesthetic, and I think that's how his vocals had a lot to do with the crossover appeal that you guys had with a lot of other people into other musics.
Yeah. At one point we had some friends in a band called Capitalist Alienation, and they showed up at the Jam Space with GBH Discharge, and we could not believe, Snake and I especially, were really struck by it, Conflict, and we never really stopped listening to that, and it really had a strong impact on War and Pain and Roar. And on War and Pain, we didn't put any photo on the album, and when we first toured, many people thought we had Mohawks and everything, and it was funny. But it was definitely the beginning of the crossover between hardcore and metal, like the thrash metal, I mean.
Yeah. Speaking of Mohawks, I mean, you know, I've gone online on social media, and I've said, you know, there's this whole Skrillex thing with his hair, and all the girls were for a while. Even Avril Lavigne was shaving half her head because she thought it was kind of like Skrillex. Mm-hmm. And I was on social media and I was posting old pictures of you guys with Blackie's hair, and I'm like, I said, I'd make my own memes and I'd say, like, you know, you like Skrillex, but Blackie had a friend. And, you know, what did Blackie think of that when that was happening? What did you guys think of that? Were you even aware of all that stuff going on? Like, some dude, obviously, I've heard Skrillex is an old metalhead.
Oh, maybe.
I'm sure he knows of, if not a fan of you guys.
I'm not sure if he's aware of Voivod at all. I'm aware of him, and I mean, I've always listened to electronic music, from Kraftwerk to Prodigy to what's going on now. I'm still interested in that. I don't know what Blackie thought about it at all. I mean, in the mid-80s, it was pretty bold in the metal community to do that. I remember when he did it, we were living, the four of us together, on top of us. Striptease bar, and let's go. He had his girlfriend shave half, and I thought it was great. But when we after that, though, like, we were recording in Berlin these days, and we were always trying to go on the other side of the wall, in the east part, and they were always turning us down because they said we looked too funny. And of course, Blackie had half his head shaved, and I think that after that I saw many people like Phil Anselmo, or many people had like
Jason
had that,
and then James did it too.
But you know what, I think Blackie got the influence from the dude from the Cramps. Can't remember his name. Gregory.
The guy who had
half his hair was on one side, and that's what I think. I would have to ask him.
It's something that, you know, it never really crossed my mind until I started seeing like all these like young girls with the Skrillex hairstyle, and I was like,
do they not know, or just, they've gotta be told where this is from.
Yeah, he so, does look like Blackie, circa 86.
Yeah, I gotta say, it's he must be a Voivod fan. That's what I'm thinking.
I know that a friend of mine handed him my art book about Voivod at some festival on the west coast of USA this year. So now he's surely aware of Voivod, because she was on working at the festival and realized that, wow, he must know Voivod for sure.
Yeah.
And ended up giving him my book. She had one copy, and now I owe her one copy.
And speaking of that book, it's Worlds Away, right?
Yes.
Worlds Away by Martin Popoff.
Yeah.
And the designs that you did for us, our t-shirt designs, are in the are in the book.
Yeah,
so that's really cool. And the first design you did, or was it the second design you did, and you did it by hand, is framed and hangs in my hallway.
Oh yeah, I remember actually that. Sometimes I do ink and then I scan it. Sometimes I use the Wacom tablet with the digital pen, like on tour. That's what I do. And but I do remember the sketch. Yeah, and the book covers from 1976 to 2009. So you are somewhere in that frame.
06.
Yeah. That's it.
And that the first one you did, you asked me, first one I called you about to do our t-shirt design, you asked me like, well, what do you want me to do? And I'm like, just make it look like fucking Voivod. Like,
yeah,
and then you did some gas mask.
Yeah, three eyes, I think.
Yeah. And then I asked you, I said, like, do you have those sketches? I'll even, like, I'll buy them off you or whatever. And you told me you did it on your computer, so it wasn't by hand that time. But then when we got you to do another design, you did it by hand for me. That's really cool.
No trouble, man.
Yeah.
It's great, actually. Dave Grohl and you got me a lot of work, because at this point Piggy had passed away, unfortunately, and Snake and I took 3 years off, and it was a time where I really needed graphic work, commissioned art, and all of a sudden, I think the Ringworm saw you at some festival, and
Hellfest,
and then they commissioned some art, and then it just kept rolling.
And Jason McMaster from...
Yes, Jason did that.
Dangerous Toys, Broken Teeth, too.
And Watchtower, maybe, Jason?
Watchtower.
And so I'm doing art now. Half of my time I spend doing art, and the other half recording or touring with Voivod, which is really, really cool.
I really didn't know if you were doing that when I asked you. I think I asked you like very cautiously, because I don't know, maybe you put, you know, a kibosh on that, and it's only for Voivod. But then I saw that you did some work for Nonfiction, that hip hop group.
Yes. I think it was very the what happened was, we had a bad crash in '98 in Germany. Eric, the singer bass player of Dan, was at the hospital for 1 year, and I started to offer my service as a graphic artist, and then ended up doing something for Necro, and it was the same deal where it had to look Voivod, so I did a bunch of like sort of black metallish logos of Nonfiction. He said, no, we want like the real thing on Roar. Okay, I did an imitation of that. No, we want you to take the logo and twist it in. Okay, that is, I really ripped myself off there, and but it's something that you know, I learned. It's that if people want my signature, as much as I want to be creative and go outside of my boundaries and all that, they will tell me, no, we want like metal, skeleton zombies with spikes, and you know, okay, I see. And now I go directly to the old thrash metal design, because I save time. I did something for Ryan Adams as well, where he...
Are you serious?
Yeah, he has... What's...
Wow.
Orion, he has like a Probot project called Orion. Like Dave Grohl is another one where I was saying got me a lot of...
Because you did the cover for Probot.
Yeah, and in 2004, I believe. And... and then Ryan Adams contacted me. He's a huge Voivod fan, and I did art for his album Orion, and he did the same where I sent him some stuff. He said, well, I don't want to offend you, I love all of your art, but can you make it like mid-80s? So now I go directly to the mid-80s as soon as I start a project.
I guess all of us, I was the same way. Like, I didn't want to offend you, but I also loved the artwork of Voivod. Like, there was two levels to Voivod. There was the music and the ideas and just the atmosphere that the music created. But then alongside the music was all this crazy, incredible artwork. And then to find out it was from the band themselves, it was, you want to capture that a bit.
Yeah, well, it was actually a bit out of necessity. We were like living up north, about 500 kilometers north of Montreal, small town, and we decided to do everything ourselves, build the guitars and etc. And of course, since I had created the concept and the visuals a bit prior to the band, I wanted to do comics for Heavy Metal magazine with my favorite artists, Bilal, Drouillet, Moebius, everybody's. I was really influenced by this magazine when it came out in the 70s. It's still my main influence. And I created this concept with the Voivod, Korgul, all that, living on Morgoth. And when I discussed that with the band, you know, they thought it'd be really cool to develop it musically. And so I was at the best spot for the illustration part, but it was a bit bold because I had never done a painting before, and here I was. We were on Metal Blade all of a sudden, and I had to paint the front cover. And I learned through the Martin Popoff's book that the staff at Metal Blade were pretty nervous because the drummer was doing the art. And I had to ship the painting, and it took me months to do that painting. And that's why I switched to digital eventually. But I had to ship the painting to Ellie, and they all gather around the table opening it like, oh my god, the drummer did the art. And they were pleasantly surprised. And it was directly influenced by the first Iron Maiden album, but in a more of in a Cold War context. And so that was it. It's just that I had no idea who we should pay for, who we should pay to illustrate what I had in my brain. So, it's going to take me months, but let's do it. And then I did it again and again and again. And then after Dimension Atros, I bought a computer. I did the Nothing Face on a Commodore.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing.
It really accelerated my process. Since I'd never studied art at all, I studied in science, so I had no technique. And people always asked me, are you going to do another painting one day for to illustrate the cover of Voivod and next album and all that? And oof, it's quite a task for me. Maybe one day. But I'm conscious that... being a rock and roll drummer, I don't have all the time needed to study Illustrator and Photoshop in a real profound way. And so I see artwork, digital art today, that's so superior to what I do. So I will never pretend that I'm a professional artist or anything like that. I'm mainly a heavy metal drummer.
But isn't like being, I don't want to get into the whole discussion of what is an artist and what is art, but the fact that you have an audience who want to see your illustrations, doesn't that kind of by default bestow you the title of artist?
Yeah, in the sense, because it's like music. To me, music and graphics has—it's always been like if you can express it, if it has soul, it doesn't have to be like super precise, or you know, or it can be a doodle or just an improvisation on the drums, and if it has a vibe, you succeeded. So it's. It's really hard to debate on that, because like let's say a drummer might be like super technical and everything, but if he has no groove, it's really hard for me to think he's a good drummer. So, and then some people would think the opposite. If the drummer is sloppy, he's not good, but if he's really precise, he's good. I think it's a matter of taste at the end, but yeah, definitely. Like, of course, I consider myself an artist, I see like covers of albums that are so mind blowing nowadays, and I just that it's hard for me to. Sometimes I think I'm an imposter, but I. Collaborated to, I did the foreword for a book called Logos from Hell, and it just came out, and when I received the book, I could not believe the logos I was seeing in there. There are like thousands of logos of metal bands over the years, and newer bands and such, and everything, and it really kicked my ass. I really have to work harder on the next Voivod logo. There are some crazy, scary logos out there. So it's good for me, because it's, I see it as a challenge, you know? Mm. Yeah.
Well, one thing I wanted to ask you about, aside from Voivod, is Phobos.
Yeah.
What's the status of Phobos?
Phobos, what do you mean?
Your psychedelic side project.
Okay. Cosmos?
Was it Cosmos?
Yeah, with a K.
Oh, that's what it is.
Yeah.
Sorry. Man.
It's no trouble.
Same letters.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of same letters in the same order.
Cosmos is a strange collective from Montreal, and we do mainly instrumental krautrock, rock, but it's sort of a side project really, and we do have a second album in the works, and some of it was recorded in Istanbul, and it's very progressive. It's a cool project. It's a bunch of my friends from different bands in Montreal.
Any name bands that anyone would know?
Well, it's bands that you wouldn't know, but they're not really international in a way, like Grimmskunk and
Groovier. Those guys are great. I mean, we toured with Grimmskunk here in Europe.
Yeah, we toured in Europe with them as well. They're like...
they're great guys.
Really, really good band. I always loved them. And I'm part of a couple of bands with these guys, Vincent Pic from Groovy Aardvark and Joey Walsh from Grimmskunk.
Okay, yeah.
We are in, Vincent is in Cosmos, and Vincent and Joe are in Ochos. Ochos is an older Montreal band from the 70s that reformed with Piggy in 2005, and right before he passed away. And it's some sort of 70s psychedelic hard rock with a beatnik on vocals. And we reformed this year again for the 40th anniversary. We're working on a new album, and Vincent is in there, and Joe Evil as well. And Alex Crow, the guitar player from Ocho's, is in Café Inn. I was in Café Inn, and Café Inn is in Cosmos, and Vincent is in Café Inn.
You were in Café Inn?
Yeah, for a long time. We haven't toured Germany at one point. Played with Café Inn for 5-6 years. Yeah.
I think we played with Café Inn like, oh, I want to say 98, 99, yeah. But maybe you were in the band. I don't think you were.
I don't think Café Inn had 3 drummers, right. And I was really very busy with Jason as well, and the fourth lineup of Voivod around 2003, 2004. But right now my main project aside from Voivod is Talcross.
I was gonna say Talcross, which is a wicked album, amazing album. I gotta say.
Yeah, I'm really proud of that project. It's Rob from Amoebics.
Yeah.
And John Misery from Misery, Andy from Warplague, and I play drums, and it's crust metal, I guess.
I have the album. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. It's a great album.
Yeah, we're gonna be playing.
I listed it on my. I had a top album list of this year. So.
Excellent. I think that Barney from Napalm Death listed it as well. It is probably the same top thing, and it's. Again, it's a side project, so we have about 10 shows planned in the spring of 2016, and one at Roadburn, also with Neurosis.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And right before leaving on this tour, I recorded 12 new tracks for the next album, also on Relapse Records. Yeah.
That's amazing. Wow, that sounds great.
We just share a Dropbox folder. And Rob, it's crazy, huh? Nowadays, Rob is on Isle of Skye. He builds swords. Is swords? How would you say that?
Swordsmith.
Yeah. And I think John is a farmer in Minneapolis, and Andy is a 3D graphic artist in Minneapolis, and I'm in Montreal. So we record individually,
wow.
And everybody's building on the everybody.
It sounds like it doesn't sound like that.
I mean, the demos were on a click track, so we all built on top of it, and it's amazing. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I'm very excited to hear the next one.
It's
so,
in the same vein, like crust metal, folk, yeah.
Crust metal. Yeah. It's got my name written all over it. Well, Michel, thanks a lot, man. I wanted to talk about Talcross. I wanted to talk about Cosmos, sorry, and just all the Voivodian Voivod stuff that's going on, but it's wicked.
Cool.
Michel, thanks for coming on. Thank you.
Thank you, and looking forward to see part of your show tonight, because we're sort of playing a bit together at one point.
Well, I'll see only a part of your show, too. I could only check out a couple of songs.
Cool.
But then, you never answered my question. If I joined Voivod, what would my name be?
Oh, maybe Dankoid.
Awesome.